This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You hear a lot of talk about Circus Survivor, biggest football contest in the world, and Will Hill just passed a milestone number in Circus Survivor here tonight. Over 20,000 entries have now been put in. Circus Sports just put out the details. If you look on the board behind me in the sports book, it still says 19,982, but that's not the updated count. The current count in Circus Survivor with a $20 million guarantee and with about 5 days to go, 20,017 entries. Incredible. They're at, on the Twitter account, at Circus Sports. We've hit another guarantee, just passed 20 million, biggest yet. Now have 20,017 entries with 5 days to go. Where do you think this ends up? Will Hill, it sure looks like it's going to end up around 25,000, which equals 25 million. Do you think it hits 25? I think so.
My over under would be 25.5, which I mean, you still, you know, I wonder with I guess it doesn't affect it because the season starts Wednesday, but you still have time to rebuy. And I know people like Steve Fezzik, who has talked about this, they'll sit, they'll wait. And if the favorite loses on opening night, which is a little less pronounced this year because it's not as big of a favorite, hey, there's more of an overlay, there's more dead money in there, and they're gonna pounce. But 25, I think, is a good number. I think it'll go over 25, though, Matt.
So, yeah, I don't agree with that thinking this year, because why would you want to use the Rams or the 49ers on Thursday? Why would you want to use the Patriots or the Seahawks on Wednesday? Will, you're not going to want to use any of those four teams, I don't think, in week one and say, well, if I lose, I'll rebuy. You got to save those teams for later in the season. I've done a complete Survivor roadmap for each week of the season. I've got this thing all mapped out. You're not going to want to use these teams in week one. And why would you want to pay double for an entry? Well, if I lose, I'll just rebuy. Why would you want to pay twice as much for an entry? I don't get it. I don't get that thinking anyway. Can you explain it?
I agree with your thought process, but that is a Steve Fezzik kind of staple where every year he kind of waits and sees if the favorite loses, then kind of adjusts his strategy, which interestingly, Matt, you know, for years, you play on the team, and forget Survivor for a second, the team that wins the Super Bowl hosts opening night. For years, you just play on them, and they would do well. They would win. They would cover. But if you look back the last 5 or 6 years, it has not gone as great, at least against the spread. Remember, Bucks-Cowboys, I think in 2021, the Bucks won, but they didn't cover. There was a Chiefs-Lions year where the Chiefs got upset. The Rams on opening night against the Bills got blown out. It's not gone great for the Super Bowl winner for whatever reason. Now, these are all independent events. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen this year, but just something to keep in mind. I know for years, people that track it, the Super Bowl winner would do well defending their title. They come back that opening night, crowd's fired up. They get their, they hang the banner and all that, and they would win, they would cover. It hasn't been the case the last 5 or 6 years, whatever that's worth, if anything.
Yeah, so if you look at Circus Survivor and way it's mapped out this year over 20 weeks, the Thanksgiving Eve, Thanksgiving, and Black Friday games are its own week. Look at the teams that are playing then. Look at the teams that are playing on Christmas. And the teams you're going to have to hold back and try not to use earlier in the season. So there's a lot of strategy involved, I think more so than the other years because of the teams that are playing on the Thanksgiving week and the Christmas week. It's very complex, and I think it's tricky, and I'm definitely not considering any of the teams that play Wednesday or Thursday in Survivor. Will, I'm going to ask you about what is probably going to be the top two consensus plays in Circus Survivor this week. One is the Chargers. Probably going to draw somewhere around 35% of the entries. Chargers as double-digit favorites against the Arizona Cardinals. How confident are you that the 10-point home favorite in L.A. is going to win and advance in that game? Or you think, hey, man, it's week one. Strange things happen. Don't forget, the Raiders went to Foxborough and beat the Patriots last year in week one. You know, we've seen crazy things happen. Is there a thought in the back of your mind that, hey, the Cardinals could go to L.A. and pull off this upset, knock off the Chargers? Or do you say, no way, not going to happen?
It's week one. That anything can happen. It's the NFL. Anything can happen. I think the Chargers will win, but hey, I mean, how many times do we sit here? We think teams are going to win and they don't. I mean, I like the Cardinals plus the points. I would assume that I would think the Chargers are going to win, but you know what? I mean, again, it's the NFL, and it's not that easy to predict. I actually think the Cardinals are undervalued just because, you know, they got so many injuries last year. They lost so many close games. They do have some offensive personnel. I'd be surprised if Harbaugh, who usually has his teams prepared, buttoned up, loses the game. I'll probably take the Chargers just because there's not that many places. After they play the Raiders in week two, Matt, there's not that many places to use them. They have a pretty tough schedule. The Chargers, with so much Survivor content out there, so many people are going to get cute. Let me use the Steelers. Let me use the Titans or the Jets or the Raiders or the Dolphins. I actually think it's okay to just use the Chargers. If you think that's the most likely win, just put that in your pocket. Let everyone knock themselves out with this contrarian approach and just move on to week two, hopefully. So I think I'm going to be on the Chargers here in week one. Is that crazy or no?
That's not crazy, but I'm not going to have a majority of my entries on the Chargers. I'm not going to do it that way. We'll have a few. I think you can put a few, if you've got multiple entries, let's say double-digit entries, put a few on the Chargers, and if they get knocked off, if they get upset, hey, that's okay. 35% of the field just went out, you know, and you didn't put too many of your own entries on the Chargers. Let me talk about the second most popular favorite this week, which is likely going to be the Jaguars, a 7-point home favorites over the Browns. Now, I've mentioned this before, Deshaun Watson in his career, 7-0 as a starter against Jacksonville, but that was the old Deshaun Watson, not this version. Jaguars, to me, up to 8-point favorites right now. Jaguars, to me, are always a tricky favorite to back. I never quite trust them. I don't think this Jags team is that solid. I expect regression from the Jaguars and quite a bit of it this season. But, I mean, seriously, the Browns? Jaguars got to be able to beat the Browns, right? You're going to use the Jaguars on a Circuit Survivor entry, Will.
I mean, it starts to get complicated when you talk Survivor and go, well, I've got six entries. Let me give you my six different teams. Mm-hmm. The Jags should survive. Again, this is a situation where I like the Browns plus the points. I actually like the Browns roster 2 through 53. Looks like they hit on the two rookie receivers, Boston and Concepcion. Yeah. Judkins is a pretty good back. Fanning the tight end. They've always got a pretty good defense. Low total. So you figure, you know, it should be a closer, lower scoring game. But the Jags, again, the Jags should win the game here. It's funny. For a team that won, what, they win 13 games last year? They're not getting a lot of buzz for a 13-win team. So I can certainly understand here if you take Jacksonville.
Probably put a couple or a few entries on Jacksonville, but even though I'm not completely sold on that, it wouldn't shock me if the Browns, if the Browns and Deshaun Watson win only one game and it's at Jacksonville, it wouldn't surprise me. Because, again, you talk about week one when everybody expects a certain thing to happen. Don't be surprised when the opposite does. All right, so if you throw out the Jaguars, you throw out the Cardinals, Will Hill, what's your next best option in Circus Survivor this week? Is it the Lions? Is it the Steelers? Or is it a different team?
It's probably not the Lions, because if you look at the schedule is pretty favorable.
Right.
And there's a bunch of chances to use them. It would probably be the Raiders, just because, you know what? You know, you got to pick 20 winners at some point. The Raiders are, I don't know, what, 25th best team? Might as well get them out of the way. You know what? If they're going to burn you, let them burn you early. They're playing the Dolphins. They're at home. From a game theory standpoint, the Raiders make some sense.
I like the Raiders as a Survivor play in week one. And I know that my partners in Survivor are going to hate me when I use the Raiders if they lose. But sometimes that's the risk you got to take here. I think the Dolphins are the worst team in the league, not the Cardinals. I believe it's the Dolphins. After watching the preseason, not much talent there. Will, it's stunning when you look at it. You realize more than half of the Dolphins' salary cap is dead money on players who are no longer even on the team?
I saw the stat. What's it? 14% of the roster is post-training camp cuts from other teams. I mean, it's just it's a dreadful, dreadful roster, which, you know what, long-term, and believe it or not, I was a freshman in high school the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game. I think it was 2000 against the Colts. So you know what? We've took our lumps for this long. Let's just take it another year. Let's bottom out. We'll clear out the cap. And in a quarterback-rich draft, we'll try to get the quarterback. Now, I'm sure if you're a Dolphin fan, you say, you know what? I've been hearing that for a couple of decades. It never seems to work out, but I guess you try it one more time. I don't know.
You don't think Malik Willis is a quarterback of the future in Miami?
He's not terrible. He's not awful. He's not awful. I mean, I don't think he's the quarterback of the future, but he's not bad. But it seems like the rest of the roster is pretty bad.
Jeff Hafley.
Can you name a Dolphins receiver, by the way?
Jeff Jeff Hafley and Malik Willis. And now I think that I've got Dolphins power rated the worst team in the league. If you can't use the Raiders now, when can you use the Raiders? I guess maybe sometime in December when they play a couple of the weakest opponents on the schedule. But I think you got I've got to use at least a few or more on the Raiders here in week one of Survivor. By the way, still not underway in Tallahassee. They said initially it said on ESPN a 5-minute delay. Now it's going to be about a 1-hour delay. I can imagine that Chris Massaro is losing his mind on Twitter with this delay due to a power outage at Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee. You can see the pregame show. It's almost dark in the stadium. Actually, some of the lights beginning to come on. The next update is planned for 10 minutes from now. So a significant delay in the SMU Florida State game. And again, if you didn't see it on the VSIM Pro page today, we have 10 handicappers on SMU and one on Florida State. Jensen Lewis is on the under. Total of 53.5. Jensen Lewis bet the under. Handicappers on SMU: Super Dave Ross, Stormy Bonantoni, Bruce Marshall, Colin Wilson, Brian Edwards, Ryan Kramer, Dustin Sweetelson, David Bierman, CJ Sullivan, Chris Facile, and Eric Cohen. The lone wolf on Florida State is Brad Taylor. How about that? He's got the courage to go contrarian and take the three with the Seminoles in Tallahassee. All right, more on NFL Week 1 and a quick look back at College Football Week 1 after a break here on VSIM Primetime.
VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, matching betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/vsin. That's ungambled.com/vsin and use promo code vsin for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square, ungambled. Will Hill, I don't know what's going to happen with this SMU Florida State game. The lights seem to be coming on. Now they're off. Next update is 5 minutes away. When do you think we're going to get kickoff in Tallahassee?
I don't know, but if you're listening to VSIN for Giants Cardinals updates tonight, you might be in luck because we might be doing a lot on St. Louis and San Francisco in baseball with the way this game has been delayed. I have no idea. I mean, I thought it would be a short delay, but we were supposed to start a good 45 minutes ago, and doesn't seem like, you know, we're all that close. So we'll keep an eye on it. I guess by 8:30 or so, we should be underway, but you know, we're just guessing at this point, Matt.
Cardinals Giants underway in San Francisco. First inning later tonight. Chase Burns and the Reds against Emmett Sheehan and the Dodgers. I do have a small bet on the Reds, a +159 beer and pizza bet. Not much on it, but the Dodgers have been shaky, no doubt about it. And Chase Burns definitely the better pitcher in this matchup. I thought a big dog worth playing tonight. Reds treated me well on Saturday and +144. They got a win over the Brewers when I played them, so I took them a shot on the Reds again tonight. Dylan Cease and the Blue Jays against the A's in West Sacramento, and that's Jacob Lopez getting the start tonight. And how about this, Will Hill, for Dylan Cease? Someone sent this to me. The last time Dylan Cease started in Sacramento, he was with the Padres. He went 4 innings, gave up 9 earned runs, and got rocked in that game. 4 innings, 9 hits, 3 walks, 9 earned runs. I don't think that's going to happen tonight. The A's are not putting the same lineup out there. It is hot and humid on the West Coast. The ball flies in Sacramento. Maybe the A's can get to Dylan Cease. I'm not going to count on that. What do you think?
I'm sure you would sign up for that stat line right now as somebody who bet Cam Schlittler to win the Cy Young. That stat line
that
sounds
would be
pretty
nice.
Good.
Yeah,
it'd be Blue Jays minus the run and a half or nothing. But Lopez has been pretty good. I don't like betting these games in Sacramento. Just like I don't like betting these games in Colorado where just the environment is so hitter-friendly, it kind of throws the numbers off. But You figure, you know, the Blue Jays have been playing well. CeCe's been pitching really well. Toronto can probably get it done and get it done by multiple runs here, Matt.
You would think so. If I were to bet it and lay the 1.5, it would have minus 120, 125 with Dylan Cease and the Blue Jays. But we will hope maybe the A's can get lucky and put some runs on the board against Cease tonight. By the way, Cam Schlittler, I believe Schlittler is going to start Tuesday in the Bronx against the Rockies. Is that right, Will Hill? I think there's a good chance Aaron Judge is going to return for that game as well. Do you sense that?
Cam Schlittler on the mound, Aaron Judge in the lineup, and the Rockies is your opponent. That's a pretty good recipe. It does seem like Judge is going to be back sooner rather than later. Tuesday's a possible date. And if you're ever going to make your run for the division four with only a few weeks left, that's a lot of games to make up, Matt. But you got three against Colorado. Meanwhile, Tampa has three in Atlanta. Then they play the Astros this weekend. Tampa and the Yankees play four times in a couple weeks, the last week of the season. I think you need to get to that series down like a game, because Tampa, unless the Yankees sweep that four-game series, Tampa is going to control the tiebreaker. These teams don't play a game 163 tiebreaker game anymore, which I hate. I used to love those tiebreaker games. But if you're the Yankees, this is your shot. You got the Rockies. You got a softer schedule here coming up. Maybe with Tampa, a little bit of tougher schedule, you can somehow close the gap to where you're like a game out facing Tampa a couple weeks from now, and you can win 3 out of 4 and go right past them while you're on the field together. I know Tampa finishes up against Philly, which is also a tough series if Philly needs it. So maybe we'll get a race in the AL East. Tampa should hold on, but I think the Yankees might be heard from here in the last few weeks.
Well, the Yankees are going to be massive favorites in that game tomorrow in the Bronx. Cam Schlittler is going to be great. The Yankees got to give him some run support. That's one they got to get tomorrow against the rotten Rockies. The Yankees off tonight on Labor Day. Amazing that MLB on Labor Day, when you have the entire sports world to yourself, 8 teams are not playing, including the Yankees. Just a mind-boggling scheduling mistake by MLB. Players are on the field in Tallahassee, I believe. I don't know if that's live or a replay. Anyway, we'll get to that a little bit later. This game is not starting anytime soon, it appears. Let's replay College Football Week 1, get to the most controversial game, because we had some great tweets about this over the weekend. Michigan pulls out a miraculous 13-12 victory over Western Michigan on a second-chance Hail Mary with no time on the clock. Brad Powers, professional sports bettor, says, biggest travesty in college football history. Everyone associated with the video review should get life in prison. All right. Now, Chris Massaro took it a little bit further. Actually, I don't know. He was on the same page here. So Brad says everyone associated should get life in prison. Chris Massaro tweets, what a disgrace. Yes. College football is rigged. Too much money for Notre Dame and Michigan to possibly lose week one to inferior opponents. Absolutely criminal what is going on so far this season. I know he tweeted that he wanted some people arrested after the Michigan debacle on Saturday. Will Hill, I've reviewed all the evidence from this, and there's no doubt that the Big Ten has cheated Western Michigan. It's obvious. The secret clock nonsense cannot happen. The clocks are supposed to be synchronized in the stadium with the TV. When you watch the replay, I understand what they're saying about number 18 with his foot out of bounds, jumping up and touching the ball, but there was not 1 second left. The clock had obviously hit zeros before he touched the ball. This is another major conference conspiracy to screw a small conference team. And when you talk about, you know, the integrity of the games, like Roger Goodell and others obviously talk about all the time, talk about the integrity of the games. The integrity of the games is being stripped away by the leagues, by the officiating crews, and it's become an embarrassment. I'm not going to say it's pro wrestling yet, but this has become really embarrassing, and it's disgusting for a lot of people.
Yeah, and usually when people say it's rigged, they just kind of snicker. Nothing's rigged. Come on. It's maybe they make a bad call. Yeah. Maybe they made a call against your team. It's not rigged. And I don't think this was rigged, but this is really bad. This is about as bad as anything I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You can't do this to the viewer. The clock is sacred. We can't, you know, it's tenths of a second, secret clocks, enough. Well, the nonsense. The clock has to mean something. And we all saw the clock hit zeros. And I was actually watching the game with a few other games. The sound was off. And I thought, all right, well, it's obviously not the clock. I wonder what they're reviewing. Maybe, you know, Western Michigan had 12 men on the field. Maybe they're reviewing that, because it can't be the clock. The clock so clearly expired. Why are you even doing this? They give him another play, and what do you know? It lands at a touchdown. Granted, they didn't give him the ball in the two or the three. You still had to complete a Hail Mary, and you could say, well, Western Michigan should have defended it. The play should have never happened. This is about as bad as anything I've ever seen. And, you know, I don't know what the consequences are going forward. I know John Fantas of the world have defended it. You know, he works for the network saying, you know what, it's different clock, all this. Enough with the different clocks. Enough with the, you know, tenths of a second. Michigan, Western Michigan got robbed. Michigan got away with one. I mean, there doesn't look like a playoff team to me, so it probably doesn't matter in the end, although you can say Western Michigan, with their schedule, maybe had a path to sneak into that conversation. But just as a viewer, a sports fan, this was an absolute disgrace what happened Saturday night.
Yeah, you can't say it doesn't matter, because those of us who bet Michigan regular season win total under 8.5, it matters, right?
There you go.
And it can matter if Michigan's in position to be a college football playoff team toward the end of the year, if Western Michigan could have been in that position. You cannot have a secret clock with 1 second on it that nobody sees. It's BS. And as for John Fanta, who is now a studio host at NBC, he's lost a lot of credibility. Look, he's doing what NBC tells him to do on behalf of the Big Ten, just basically reading a statement. So you can't believe what he says anymore. It's just a mouthpiece for the network and the conference. How about Chris the Bear Felica of Fox Sports? Quote, total robbery. Not a chance there was any time left. And I agree with the Bear. There was no chance. There's no chance there was any time left. This is a plain and simple a screw job, and Western Michigan got the worst of it. And you think, well, it's an isolated incident. It's not. Did you watch the Notre Dame Wisconsin game yesterday? There are five different angles of the Notre Dame player falling on the fumbled kickoff, and all five showed his foot out of bounds before he had control of the ball. And the officiating review says, well, we're going to give the ball to Notre Dame anyway. I'm sure you saw that play, right?
I had first quarter under 10.5, so I saw it. I saw it very well, and that was not a fortunate result. I had under for the game, too, which was just you know, a nightmare, too. And it's getting harder and harder, by the way, to back these big underdogs when the favorite knows the spread and tries to cover it. It's got to get cleaned up. That was as bad as it gets. I mean, I would love when everyone's saying one thing, you try not to come on these shows and just repeat what everyone else is saying because it's boring and we can listen to anybody complain about what a bad call it was and you want to have something different to say. There's nothing different to say. That was an embarrassment.
Hey, the week before that, I was at Stanford and I watched Hawaii get screwed on two replay reviews. Absolutely jobbed on two replay reviews that were obvious, and they both went against Hawaii. You know, this one goes against Whiskey in the Notre Dame game. Western Michigan gets screwed. This is not a isolated thing. This is a pattern of what's happening, and somebody's got to put a stop to it. Jim Feist up next to talk NFL futures, NFL Week 1. Stay tuned.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, hold your tickets on SMU, Florida State. This could be quite the cluster tonight in Tallahassee. Will Hill, I'm receiving reports now that there's talk of suspending the game tonight between SMU and Florida State. They might, with a full stadium, send everyone home and try to play this game on Tuesday night. So different sports books are going to have different rules on this, if this game is delayed. So hold on to all your tickets. The game is delayed. It's not suspended yet, but there is talk that we might not have a game tonight. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Will Hill, what are you hearing, if you're hearing anything? That was the latest word I got here during the commercial break.
Yeah, I mean, just the same as you, and the story keeps changing, where at first it was, like, all right, you know, 5-10 minute delay, and we'll keep you posted. Then it drags to an hour, and now we are here like an hour after the game was supposed to start, where it's just players and coaches circling the field, walking around the field, kind of looking up, talking to each other, when we don't really have any sign of you know, of the game getting started here.
Hopefully we have a game tonight. We do have a legend on the show. How about Jim Feist? Let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Jim Feist, professional sports bettor in Vegas since 1970, founded ProLine, sports handicapping cable TV show on USA Network that I used to watch on TV as a kid. And it's great to have Jim Feist on the show tonight. Jim, how you doing? You fired up for NFL Week 1. Do you have a bet on tonight's SMU Florida State game first?
I do not. Okay. I've stayed away from that one. I did watch the Florida State game, the first game, and they did not look anywhere near what everybody expected them to look like.
All right, let's talk NFL, because that's your specialty. And I know you're going to be involved in the Circa football contest. down here. But typically, Jim, you said you play it cautiously early in the season in the NFL. What's your theories on how to approach NFL futures or NFL week one?
Well, times have changed in the period of time that I've played bet sports. I mean, this year you have 10 new head coaches, 10 teams with new head coaches. You got 10 teams with 18 different play callers. Now, that requires a lot of chemistry between, A, the coaching staffs, all these. There's plenty of coaches on a team. You have quarterback coaches, line coaches, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, meshing that with the quarterbacks and the offensive lines, wide receivers. There's a lot of meshing going on. And I don't think we learn enough in the preseason, because it is a limited preseason. Coaches don't generally play their regular players. So in the beginning of the season, I go very slow. I try to lean on coaches that have been around a while and give them a little bit more of an edge, because they know their quarterback, they know their offensive and defensive coordinators, they know the plan, they know the scheme, the players know the schemes, and I think they're a little bit more efficient coming into the first couple of weeks of the year.
Sound philosophy there, and NFL week one kicks off Wednesday night, also game Thursday night, and Jim Feist, we should mention that Wednesday at Dom DeMarco's, once again, you're going to be hosting your pro football show each Wednesday at noon, correct?
That is correct. And we are very fortunate to have you on there every once in a while. And that's a great thing.
You know, this week, noon at Dom DeMarco's on Wednesday, I'll be out there with the Iceman, Chuck Edel, and Jim Feist. So we'll be out there talking pro football futures and NFL week one best bets. Chuck Edel, Jim Feist, myself at noon Wednesday at Dom DeMarco's out in the patio. And you got two different handicappers out there with Jim every week. Last week, I believe it was Bill Krakenberger and Steve Fezzik. And this week, I'll be out there with Chuck Edel along with Jim. Follow him at Jim Feist Sports. And Will Hill, Jim's going to say something about the Vikings I think you will appreciate as a Vikings fan.
Well, yeah, let's hear it, Jim. I am on the Vikings. Will, go ahead. I'm sorry if I interrupted.
Yeah, Will, tee him up on this Vikings game.
It's a team a lot of people like, Jim. 9-8 last year, bad quarterback play. People figure with better quarterback play with Murray, they can bounce back. Is that sort of your line of thinking here? And what's your thought process on Minnesota entering the 2026 season?
Well, first of all, Will, you're right. The Vikings roster is incredible. They have very few holes on that team. Their defense is solid. Their offensive is solid. Their running game is solid. The wide receivers are excellent. If you can get somebody out there and play quarterback, I mean, J.J. McCarthy did not give them anything last year, and they still look damn good at times. And I believe that they can win this division. I'm not at all afraid of Green Bay or Chicago or anyone in that division. Detroit also, they have to bounce back off a bad year. I think Minnesota has just a good roster, but the question mark is Murray. He's been in the league a while. He's never really lived up to his expectations. The talent is there. Is the desire there? Is the work effort there? Can he fit in with the scheme of the Vikings? They usually are pretty conservative. He kind of breaks down and makes a lot of plays out of scheme. That's not going to fit really with the head coach, I don't believe. So he's going to really have to tone his game down. But if he wants to stay in the league, this is really, I think, his last chance to be a starting quarterback.
How about Houston, Jim? They were, with some better coaching, some better quarterback play, they were probably going to be in the NFC title game. And who knows, maybe in the Super Bowl. Is this the year they can break through? What's the thought process here on Houston here coming into 2026?
You sound like you read my article. I thought Houston should be in the Super Bowl last year. I felt that the coach could have easily seen that Stroud had lost his confidence, and the defense was playing great. They played great all year, for God's sake. They were awesome. And if they got anything out of their backup quarterback, they could have easily won that game. and moved on. And I believe they'd have beaten Denver. Well, Denver was, you know, absent a quarterback as well. So I really believe Houston should have been in the Super Bowl last year. And I don't know if they'd have won the game because Seattle was pretty damn tough. But I think Houston has the ability on defense, if they can get Stroud back with some mental confidence, and I do think it is a mental thing with him, they're going to have to get him, you know, between the ears, they're going to have to make him work a little harder.
Well, that's a problem I have with the Texans, and I can't get behind him as C.J. Stroud, and he was so bad in that playoff game. Will and Jim, I guess Will's a big Vikings fan, so he's got some hope going into what you're saying there about the Minnesota Vikings, and I think they are live in that division. Jim, I think you mentioned that you don't like the Bears, you don't like the Lions. Is that what you said? Are you fading those teams in that division?
I like them. I think they're good teams. I think they have some good coaches there, but I do think the Vikings have enough talent, and they have, their roster is exceptionally good. If their coach and their quarterback can get together and play the system that the coach wants, I think the Vikings can win this division. I am not knocking the Bears at all. I think the Chicago Bears are great. They have a very good quarterback. They have a very good offensive head coach. And the play calling is excellent. And it comes down to that. That's why I'm so scared of 18 brand new play callers throughout the league. I mean, how do you know this is going to work? You get play callers first, they're just meeting the quarterbacks and getting it together. There's too much to play with. So I'm sticking with the people that I feel that are experienced, talented, and they know what they're doing, and they've done it before.
Follow him at Jim Feist Sports. Will Hill, are you taking any Vikings plus 450 or 5-1 to win the NFC North?
Absolutely. I think this time last year, if you're betting the Vikings, you're getting half the price and you got a much better quarterback. So I think it makes some sense.
Hey, Jim, I don't think you bet a lot in terms of NFL futures, win totals, anything like that, but you are in some football contests in town, right? Did you get signed up here at Circa?
I did. I have Circa. I got two at Circa and I have two at the Westgate.
You did the Circa Million, not the Survivor. Is that right?
Circa Million, yes.
Okay. Is there a game in week one you know you're going to be on this week?
I don't have any hair now. If I didn't done the Survivor, and I'd probably lose whatever hair I have.
I hear you. That's Jim Feist every Wednesday at noon. Dom DeMarco's on West Charleston. Jim, we'll see you out there this week. Appreciate the time tonight, man.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Jim.
Very much.
At Jim Feist Sports, a legend in the handicapping business. And Will Hill, still not underway in Tallahassee. And you got to wonder if this game's going to happen tonight.
I was doing the show Saturday with Brad Taylor. We were waiting for Clemson LSU to start. That eventually got started right when we were going off the air. But we're going to spend a lot of time on Giants Cardinals tonight, as we mentioned.
Yeah, I bet Dabo Sweeney wishes that a Clemson LSU game had never happened and had been canceled because of the lightning.
Started too early.
Yeah, 51-10 LSU. We'll talk more college football after a quick break here on VSIN Primetime.
VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
If you are serious about betting, and you must be if you're watching VSIN, you need Edge Boost, the financial platform built specifically for players. A Visa debit card with no usage fees, no more declined deposits, no waiting on bank transfers. Edge Boost gives you real-time access to your funds 24/7, 365, even on nights, weekends, and holidays. Use it across your favorite sportsbooks, prediction markets, DFS platforms, optimized for licensed U.S. gaming, land-based and online, earn up to 0.5% cash back on eligible deposits, and daily deposit limits up to $5 million per transaction. New users, sign up with promo code VSEN, make a minimum $100 deposit into your EdgeBoost account, and Edge Boost will match your deposit up to $100. It's a smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. Head to edgeboost.io and use promo code VSIN to get started today. Edgeboost.io, promo code VSIN. Will Hill, you got some breaking news. If we had some theme music for breaking news, we would play it now. But I saw a Yankees hype video earlier today, so I have an idea what you're going to mention here.
The New York Yankees, Matt, which people complain a lot of times that we don't talk about them enough on this show. We're going to talk about them right now, at least. Right. Have activated Aaron Judge, who has not been seen before. Boy, top of my head, Memorial Day, late May. But Aaron Judge will be back, and if you're going to activate him, sounds like he's going to be in the lineup Tuesday, which had been discussed, anticipated, but it's official. Judge is back. And, man, all the years you and I have been doing these shows together, as much as we talk about the Yankees, and you and I are Yankee fans, you can count on, like, one hand the positive things I've ever said about the Yankees. I don't say anything usually positive about them because they're just not well run for a team with unlimited resources and no salary cap. For what they've accomplished the last 17 years, it's really kind of embarrassing. I think they're going to the World Series with their pitching. With Schlittler, Fried. I know Cole wasn't great against the Padres Sunday, still giving up home runs somewhere in San Diego. You get Judge back with Rice, with Garcia, with Bellinger, a watered-down American League. It feels a little bit, Matt, like the Soto team 2 years ago, where they'll probably get to the World Series and lose, but they're much better than everyone else in the American League. We'll see how it plays out. Red Sox are dangerous. Anyone's dangerous in a short series, but Aaron Judge is back. Does this trigger a bet for you? Either to win the whole thing, which I know you already have, win the American League, win the AL East. And what's your thoughts in general here with the captain finally returning?
I think you know the answer to that question. It is not going to trigger a bet for me, but I did bet the Yankees before the season at 8-1 odds to win the World Series. I looked at the rotation with Cole, Fried, Schlittler. The bullpen has actually been really good the last couple months with Bednar at the back end of it. I thought the bullpen was going to be good enough. But when you look at the lineup with Judge and Bellinger and all the bats they got, I thought the Yankees were good enough in the American League and worth a shot at 8-1. I really like the rotation now. If Gerrit Cole can get his act together, it's kind of embarrassing what happened with Cole in San Diego on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a moment. But if Judge is back and he's back in form, I don't think you can expect Aaron Judge to look like an MVP as soon as he steps back in the box. He's been out for a long time. But I believe when the Yankees, by the time they get to October, they're going to be hard to deal with. When you get Fried and Schlittler and Cole in that rotation with the bullpen. So I am somewhat optimistic about the Yankees. Now, right now, the Rays are 85-58. They're up 4 games in the American League East. Yankees, 81-62. Red Sox, 80-65. Look at the odds to win the American League East. Right now, the Tampa Bay Rays. Your favorites. Will, you put a bet on the Yankees at some point over the summer, and obviously a lot of people thought the Red Sox were live and going to make a big run after they win today. They're 15 games over and 6 games back. What is your bet in the American League East? And it sounds to me like you would recommend a bet on the Yankees. You think they're going to make a big run here to win this division. The schedule actually sets up pretty well. Over the next week to two, the schedule sets up much better for the Yankees than it does the Rays.
It does. I mean, if you told me you bet the Yankees a little over 3-1 to win the division, I wouldn't talk you out of it. I don't think that's some complete misprice where you're getting great value. That's not only 4 games. That's basically 5 games because you don't control the tiebreaker with the Rays. And it drives me crazy. More than even teams not playing on Labor Day or holidays, the fact that we don't get tiebreaker games anymore, game 163, that was like the most exciting thing you could have as a baseball fan, those tiebreaker games. You don't get them anymore. And unless the Yankees sweep the Rays a couple weeks from now in a 4-game series, now they're all in Yankee Stadium, but you got to win all 4. The Rays will control the tiebreaker. So it's basically like a 4.5 game lead. I think the Yankees make a run. Their schedule's much easier than Tampa, but I think they ultimately fall short. Now, I mean, you are getting a little over 3-1, but that's kind of where I stand with it. I think if you're going to look at a pro Yankee bet, you look at maybe to win the American League. If you have an inkling on a team in the National League, maybe you play a matchup, Yankees versus somebody else. But I think the Yankees, if they can, it's funny, if the one series that gives me pause, the best 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox, it's such a small sample. The Red Sox give them problems. The Red Sox have good pitching, a good bullpen. I think if the Yankees survive that, I think they'll go to the World Series. So there's different ways to play that, but I do think the Yankees are pretty clearly the most talented team in the American League, even if they don't have, you know, the clearest path there.
Yeah, I would not bet the Yankees to win the division at this point. I'm not going to recommend it. Not going to make the bet myself. I think they'll finish second.
Yeah.
Like you said, the Rays have the tiebreaker. But I do believe when you get to October, the Yankees are going to be dangerous. And they should win the American League. I feel like they should win it. But we've been in this position before. And we've watched Aaron Boone blow it. We've watched the Yankees have defensive breakdowns, base running mistakes, all sorts of things that have been their downfall in the playoffs. But the pitching should be what gets the Yankees over the top. Now, this rotation is about as good as it gets at the top. The bullpen's been outstanding, surprisingly, but it has been. But can Garrett Cole get his act together? Will, yesterday, Garrett Cole gave up home runs to the first three batters of the game, and it was almost four in a row. What the hell was happening at Petco Park?
It sure was. He's always been a little bit prone to the home run ball, and a lot of great pitchers, you know, it's the old saying, solo home run doesn't beat you, which I think is a little... I don't know if I agree with that, because if you hit a few of them, you know what, they're going to beat you. And, you know, these big-time power pitchers try to challenge you, and he's been a little home run prone, but, hey, three in a row is a problem, and it was almost four in a row. He settled in. He didn't give up another run till the sixth when Campusano, who just basically turned into Pudge Rodriguez this weekend, throwing out runners left and right, hitting homers, hitting walk-off homers. Uh-huh. He destroyed them. But, you know what, six innings, four runs, it's not like he got completely bombed. It's just – you know, if it was a walk, a base hit, and a homer, and he gave up three runs, we probably wouldn't be talking about it. The fact that it was so unusual and so pronounced certainly stood out there with Cole giving up all the homers.
All right, so the Yankees are going to host the Rockies on Tuesday. Cam Schwitler going against Hughes. I'm looking at the screen, and it's blank right now. I'm going to guess the Yankees are going to be minus 330. What do you think tomorrow? In the Bronx.
I saw minus 311 earlier. Okay. With Judge back, you can probably bump it up another 20 cents. I'm looking at DraftKings. It's been pulled. Minus 344. I will put that bet in for you right now, Matt Humans.
No.
Four or five dimes at least on Cam Schwitler and the Yankees. Minus the 344. Matt Humans is in. Minus 344.
Well, check with me tomorrow night about this time. And if Schwitler doesn't throw a great game and the Yankees don't get him to win tomorrow night, you know I'm going to be ticked off. You know it.
Yes.
You got to get this one.
That's about as big a price as we'll see in baseball, right? Can you remember? I mean, maybe when the Dodgers played the Rockies or something, you get in that neighborhood. But minus 344 is about as big a price as you're going to see in baseball.
Absolutely got to win that game tomorrow night to get Cam Schwitler staying on track to win the Cy Young, and the Yankees got to get a win after a day off that they definitely should get while they're trying to chase down the Rays. By the way, slightly distracted here. With about 2.5 minutes to go in the Canadian Football League, we got a wild game going on tonight. I don't know if you've been watching this tonight, Will. It's on CBS Sports Network. Edmonton Elks 31, Calgary Stampeders 28 with 2.5 minutes to go. This has been a wild game, and it's on TSN and CBS Sports Network. If you're watching it, I know a couple guys have got some action on this game tonight. We're putting out plays on this, but I didn't realize the Eskimos was a controversial nickname until that was changed a few years ago to Elks.
Yeah.
That offended all the Eskimos, apparently. Now it's the Edmonton Elks. Anyway, did you know Eskimos was a offensive name?
I did not. When you said you were being distracted, I thought you were talking about the Florida State game. It seemed like they were showing some of the students in the stands. Mm-hmm. And if our buddy Super Dave Ross was watching, listening, I'm sure he would be tweeting, trying to find their Instagram. So some of the students being highlighted here in the warmups here. It looks like we're about 20 minutes away.
We have a start time.
Kickoff here with... Yep. Yeah.
We have an official start time that's been announced for SMU Florida State. So fortunately, not a postponement or a cancellation. We will have Monday Night Football. Apparently, it's going to be at 9:15 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, 6:15 p.m. Pacific, which is going to be 20 minutes from now. Apparently, there's going to be no coach-to-player communication, no iPads, no PA announcer, and no scoreboard. But the game will kick off in about 20 minutes.